إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، we are grateful to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. We praise Him عز وجل for this great opportunity once again of continuing with our Ramadan tafsir within the premises of this great school and masjid, Aminat School Masjid in Boso, Mina. This Sunday 4th of Ramadan, 1439 years after the Hijrah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Makkah to Medina. As usual, we're starting from where we stopped. And today, بإذن الله تعالى, we shall start from verse 160 what? Huh? 60. How can it be 64? It has to be 65, not 64. We have finished 64. 164. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. We read that yesterday. Okay, what is left of the explanation? Okay, so we are not through with 164. Okay, so we are reading Surah to Al Imran. And then Surah to Al Imran, we have gotten up to verse 164, which we explained but did not conclude. Insha'Allah ta'ala, we'll conclude it today. So Allah says, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. We have treated that. Okay, so where are we? يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. Okay. That prophet, that messenger that we sent to the people, what he does to them is that he recites to them the ayat of the Quran. The tilawa of the Quran is simply the recitation as it has been revealed. The angel recites, the prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam listens, and then afterwards he repeats what has been recited to him. In the tilawa of the Quran, we have different types and different stages. There is the tilawa of the Quran in which what you're doing is what? Tartil. Tartil is not too fast. And it's not completely slow. Then there is tahqiq. Then there is hadr. In hadr, you're not slow, you're not too fast, but you're on the fast side. Hadr is used for the salah. When you are reciting in the salah, You do not do tangim. You do not you do not even do tartil. What you do is hadr. You recite like Al-Minshawi, not really like Husari, but like Al-Minshawi, particularly Minshawi. Even Muhammad Ayyub is a little too slow for hadr. So, but like an alim said, the best example of hadr that he knows amongst all the reciters is that of Siddiq Muhammad Siddiq Al-Minshawi, rahimahullah ta'ala. I think this musician, Abdul Basit bin Abdul Samad, he also has hadr in his recitations because he has different tilawat. Mostly he is known for talgim, for the music that he puts in Quran. But there is the tartil of his, which is much, much better than all of that which you hear. And then there is the hadr, which is, of course, in its own class. So the guy was a good reciter, but what happened to him was he himself, his manhaj was bad, and it affected the way he treated the Quran, because he mostly used it for entertainment. And he got to such levels that are not even rewardable, but then he punished himself too much to get to such levels. For instance, to recite the whole of Fatiha in one breath. That is not, people praise him for that. On YouTube, there are so many clips of such recitations that you get to hear somebody who recite Fatiha in one breath. There's nothing rewarding about that. The Quran is recited ayatan ayatan. That's how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited it. That's how it should be recited. This is the problem I have with the recitation, for instance, of Sudais, Abdurrahman Sudais. I'm not too fascinated by his qira'ah because he does not take care of any of these rulings at all. The simple rulings of tajweed he violates because he just wants to follow his own voice. So he has a sweet voice and he manipulates it in such a way that people are fascinated by it. But the qawa'id of qira'ah he does not abide by. So learners should definitely not use Abdurrahman al-Sudais to learn. If you want to learn, you use Muhammad Ayyub, or you use Muhammad Siddiq al-Minshawi, or you use al-Husari. These are very good reciters from whose recitations you can actually learn, and you can take corrections in the mistakes that you make in your own recitation, because these are very good reciters. The one whose voice I like does not also qualify to be copied by learners. You don't learn from him. If you are learning, you don't listen to him to learn. That's who? Abdul Wadud Maqbul Hanif. That's the person whose voice fascinates me, and I sometimes emulate him in my qira'ah. But learners should not learn from that person because there are rules he also violates when he recites. So when Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam recites the Quran to his people, he recites it as it has been recited to him. He recited, of course, in different qira'at, in different ahruf. We have a little bit of one harf now. The rest of them we do not know. The little that we have is in 20 riwayat and 10 qira'at. This is the one that has come to us mutawatir, and these are the ones that we recite with. If you recite with any of those, it's acceptable. You can recite with them in salah. So the first thing he does is recite the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as it has been revealed to him. Like Allah said to him, لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به إن علينا جمعه وقرآنه فإذا قرأناه فاتبع قرآنه ثم إن علينا بيانه يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم. And then he preaches to them with it to purify them from their shirk, to purify them from their bidah, to purify them from their cultures which are contrary to the teachings of the Sharia. Because, you know, I think we mentioned that yesterday, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam was sent to mankind to save us, to bring us out of the different shades of darkness to the light of Islam. لِيُخْرِجَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. So, يُزَكِّيهِمْ is he purifies them with the Quran, that is, he brings them out of their ways, the ways that are their cultures which are alien to Islam, the ways of their cultures which are actually shirk, which have associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from their cultures which are not in line with anything that the messengers of Allah alayhim salatu wasalam taught. For instance, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam in his time saw that the Sahaba was observing a day for a festivity, and he asked them what that was, and they said that in Jahiliyyah they used to have festivities on that day, and so they were just remembering that. And he said to them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has replaced all your festivals with only two. He has replaced all your festivals with only two. Besides those two, Muslims have no other festivals. And that is Eid al-Adha wa Eid al-Fitr. These are the only festivals that are known to Muslims. If you have any other festival, like birthday celebration, like April Fool, like New Year celebration, and all those others, like Mawlid al-Nabi, Mawlid Inyas, Mawlid this, Mawlid Safih, and Mawlid Ghabi, if you have any of these, if you, your people used to observe such things before your coming, like the person who started Mawlid al-Nabi, he said it was because he saw Christians celebrating their own festivals, and then he was attracted to it. So they were celebrating the death of Isa. He wants to celebrate the birthday of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And so he brought about Eid al-Mawlid. Eid al-Mawlid is alien to Islam. Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam came to purify people from cultures which are alien to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of them. So one of the duties of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, and those who obey him, who believe in him and obey him, one of the things they must try to do is they should always ask, if anything comes to them, where is this coming from? Ahmad bin Hanbal, when he was arguing with those who were saying the Quran was created, what he said to them is, I hear your arguments. All your arguments, I hear them. And they seem to be convincing. But there is one thing which I want to know from you. All these your explanations, this way you are following, did you get it from Abu Bakr as-Siddiq? Are you emulating Umar bin Khattab? Are these from them? And they kept quiet. He said, well, if they are not from them, no matter how beautiful they seem, I will not accept them. Because the straight path is the path of those with whom Allah is pleased. And these are after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the first two are Abu Bakr and Umar. Then you have Uthman and Ali. And then you have the other of the Ashara al-Mubashsharuna bil Jannah, and so on and so forth. Once it's not their way, then it's not the way of Islam. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. And then he teaches them the book. He teaches them the Quran, وَالْحِكْمَةِ and the Sunnah. He teaches them the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, which explains the Quran. It's not possible for you to understand the Quran without understanding the Sunnah. It will not be possible. In the first place, you cannot establish what the Quran is if you don't have the Sunnah. I remember that there was one of these Aqlaniyun, these ones that call themselves Quraniyun. That one was saying that the only book that the Muslim should use is the Quran. And he was holding the Quran in his hand and he was preaching with it. So I came to him and asked him. I said, Ya Sheikh, what I want to know is, that book in your hand, what is it? He said, it's the Quran. I said, the Shiites have one that they also call the Quran. And they say the ones that we use are not authentic, that theirs is authentic. So this one you are holding, which one is it? He said, no, it's the Quran. I said, no, it has to be either the ones the Shiites approve of or the one they say is not authentic. Which one are you holding? He said, the Quran is the Quran. I said, but I want to know, how will you be able to convince me that the one in your hand is correct? Because I could bring you the one that the Shiites believe in, and you will see there are differences with yours. So which one is correct? And then he said, Abu Bakr Gumi is in hellfire. I said, I didn't ask you that. I didn't talk about Abu Bakr Gumi here. What I want to know is, what is in your hand? Is it the Quran? How are you able to prove that these are the words of God in your hand? You see, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, Imam Malik, they already have solved this problem. They say, al-isnadu min ad-din, and they got it from Abdullah ibn Abbas. Al-isnadu min ad-din. Lawla al-isnada, laqala man sha'a ma sha'a. But for the chain of transmission, everybody would say what they want. But if you bring me your chain of transmission and I'm able to know that this is authentic, I will confirm that this is the Quran. Then I know that, yes, you know what you're holding. And if you don't believe in the hadith, how can you bring a chain of transmission? That will be a problem. So anyway, in short, the Quran and the Sunnah go together. A man wrote a book, an alim wrote a book, and he said, Sunnatul Rasul Shaqiqatul Quran. The Sunnah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam is like the blood brother of the Quran. They come together. Because the Sunnah is also a revelation. It's not the whims of any man. It's not the opinions of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. It is the words of God. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. He does not talk out of his selfish desires. It is as he hears that he says. So وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam came and taught the people the Quran and then the Sunnah. وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. And verily, before Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam was sent, the people were in manifest error, loss. They were in a state of loss before he was sent. Even us, before we discovered the Sunnah, we were in a state of loss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Sahaba, كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Just like the lost people you're looking at today, you were like them. That's how you were before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored you and gave you Rasul alayhi salatu wa salam, and you became guided. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Naam, so Allah says,
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفسه ونفسه بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أولما أصابتكم مصيبة قد أصبتم مثليها قلتم أن قل هو من عند أنفسكم إن الله على كل شيء قدير.
الله سبحانه وتعالى says أولما أصابتكم مصيبة قد أصبتم مثليها قلتم أن هذا قل هو من عند أنفسكم قل هو من عند أنفسكم إن الله على كل شيء قدير. الله سبحانه وتعالى says أولما أي حين أصابتكم مصيبة, at the time that Allah سبحانه وتعالى tested you with a trial, that is with the loss in the battle of Uhud, when Allah سبحانه وتعالى tested you with a trial, قَدْ أَصَبْتُمْ مِثْلَيْهَا, though you had actually been used to also cause confusion within the other people, that what happened to you, double of that had happened to the people that now hurt you. You lost 70 people. On the day of Badr, they also lost 70. But then, they didn't only lose 70 by way of them dying, 70 were killed amongst them. They didn't only lose that, they also lost 70 other people who became slaves. They were caught as prisoners of war. So whatever happened to you, double of that had happened to your enemies. But then how is it that some of you now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries you with that which had already happened to them, قُلْتُمْ أَنَّ هَذَا, you say, how can this happen? Why is this happening to us? Why are we being killed like this? Why shouldn't victory be our own? This is the problem that we have now. At the time we were suffering, we were being killed, we were living in fear. And we asked Allah not to give us the best, but we said, Allah, give us this particular person. He will save us. And Allah gave him to you. Now at least you are not being killed the way you were being killed before. Now you have some security. Now you have some tranquility, much better than what you had before. But Allah is trying you with something else that He didn't try you with the other time. And that is, now things are hard, your pockets are dry. That's the most of our complaint is, pockets are dry. Money no longer flows because it's no longer business as usual. Isn't it? It's no longer business as usual. You don't see trailers of millet moving around now for Salah. You don't see people being given salt and sugar and milk like it used to happen before. You don't see people milking the government, milking the treasury. You don't see that happening as much as it happened before. It is now in the hands of a few people. They are enjoying and most of the others are suffering. Unlike before, it was chop by chop. So we didn't even notice what was happening to our economy at that time. So now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested us with this little trial, we say, but why is this happening to us? Why only us? Why are we always unlucky? Why this? Why that? You are actually worse than the leaders that you get. So shut up. and bear with it. Huwa min indi anfusikum. It is from you, from your own hands. You caused all your problem. You didn't ask Allah to choose for you. You chose for yourself. So now, shut up and enjoy what you're getting now. Enjoy it silently, quietly. Let nobody hear you. Because you chose it for yourself. Next time, you will say, Allahumma. And then you will stop there. Inni astakhiruk. You will give Allah the choice. You will no longer decide for Allah, this is how what you must give me. Because if He gives you that, sometimes you say, if I had known, I would not have asked for this. You see that? So we must be careful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now that Allah has tried you with this, you are complaining, and some of you are even saying, why? Why should it be that we will be killed like this when we have the Prophet and they do not have him? Why should we be suffering? They should be the ones to be killed, not us. قُلْتُمْ أَنَّا هَذَا أَيْ مِنْ أَيْنَ لَنَا هَذَا الْقَتْلُ وَالْهَزِيمَةُ وَنَحْنُ مُسْلِمُونَ وَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَعَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ فِينا قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Say, O Muhammad, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, that the trial is from your own selves. مَا أَصَابُكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ مَا أَصَابَ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ What? فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. It is due to what your hands have caused for yourselves. If you see any such trial, first of all, if Allah had not approved, it would not have happened. It's from Allah, we agree. But then, check yourselves. Like Ibn al-Qayyim reports in his book, Al-Jawab al-Kafi, right? لِمَنْ سَأَلَ عَنِ الدَّوَاءِ الشَّافِي. Or you simply say, الدَّاءُ وَالدَّوَاءُ. In that book, he said that one of the Salaf was heavily indebted. He wanted to pay his debt, and each time he tried, he failed. Instead, the debts were increasing. He has serious debt. He didn't know how to solve the problem. He didn't know how to pay back because he just didn't get the money to pay back. And things were worsening every day. So after some time, he looked back at himself and he said, there has to be a mistake. It has to be for his own sins that these things are happening. So he will check himself and make corrections, and inshallah, his lifestyle or what is happening to him will improve. His condition will improve if he checks his own lifestyle. Because it has to be that he is sinning against Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using this trial to bring him back to the path of truth. So that's how the Muslim always thinks. When there is a trial, look back at yourself. It may be the mistakes you're making, it may be the sins you're committing that are causing you that. You don't begin to get into believing in the evil omen or getting superstitious and so on and so forth. You just depend on Allah, and the first thing you say in the time of trial, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. They say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. Allah has decreed this, and whatever Allah wishes, whatever pleases Allah, He does. So I know that Allah has tried me with this. If you know it's from Allah, then check your relationship with Him and then make amends. And inshallah ta'ala, your condition shall improve. So, but in the case of these munafiqun from amongst the Sahaba, they said, why is this happening to us? Then Allah said, قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ. The munafiqun and even the mu'minun, the real sahaba who were not munafiqun, Allah said, all of you, check yourselves. This is from you. See what mistake you have made and see how you can correct it. So what are the mistakes they made? After Badr, There were slaves that were gotten, people that were caught as prisoners. They were given choices as to what to do to them. When Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam went to seek their advice, they said, because these poor are our people, we're close to them, we have blood relationship, we have this and that, let's just be mild on them, let's just take some fidya from them and then let them go. So we shouldn't kill any of them and take fidya from the rest. Juzya from the rest. We just take a little from them and let them go. This actually was not the best choice. And because they did this, the 70 that were killed were from amongst these people that they had taken as their own. So they had actually offended Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah had wished to correct them through this failure of theirs. So it's from you, and you should take responsibility. So it's not for the mu'min, each time something happens to you, you want to blame another person, or you want to blame it on something else which has no relationship, which is not connected with what you're connecting it with. Because that actually affects your iman. If you do not submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. So when you are tried, the first thing Allah wants from you is sabr. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. So you return your affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You agree that this trial is from Allah and only He can solve the problem that you have. May Allah solve our problems. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say to them, O Muhammad, this is from you. This is from you. Because you chose al-fida instead of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recommended, which was al-qatl. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is over all things able. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do all things, except those things that He has prohibited, except those things that He has made impossible. All other things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, which He has not made impossible, Allah is able to do them. So with the exception of creating another Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made that impossible and has ruled it out. So the issue of us saying He can do it does not arise. Allah says, وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Allah does, your Lord does not, He does not shortchange any person. Allah does not oppress any person. He does not do wrong to any person. So it's not amongst the things that you say Allah can do, because He has ruled it out for Himself. But then all other things, like trying you to see who is better amongst you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do this. Then Allah says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, go ahead.
هم للكفر يومئذ أقرب منهم للإيمان.
نعم.
يقولون بأفواههم ما ليس في قلوبهم والله أعلم بما يكتمون.
نعم.
الذين قالوا لإخوانهم وقعدوا لو أطاعونا ما قتلوا قل فدرؤوا عن أنفسكم الموت إن كنتم صادقين.
الله سبحانه وتعالى says, وما أصابكم يوم التقى الجمعان فبإذن الله وليعلم المؤمنين وليعلم الذين نافقوا وقيل لهم تعالوا قاتلوا في سبيل الله أو ادفعوا قل لو نعلم قالوا لو نعلم قتالا لاتبعناكم هم للكفر يومئذ أقرب منهم للإيمان يقولون بأفواههم ما ليس في قلوبهم والله أعلم بما يكتمون الذين قالوا لإخوانهم وقعدوا لو أطاعونا ما قتلوا قل فادرؤوا عن أنفسكم الموت إن كنتم صادقين Allah says, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ And that which affected you, which afflicted you on the day that the two warring factions met, that is on the day of Uhud, that which happened, which was in relation to Islam, Muslims being killed and a lot of others being injured. فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ This is by the permission of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed it to happen. وَلِيَعْلَمَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed that to happen so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test you and know who amongst you is a true Muslim, is a true believer, and who is not. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows a Muslim to go through a trial, and I keep saying allows, He allowed it to happen, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do evil Himself. But when people choose the path of evil, sometimes He allows them to have their way, because that is what they have chosen, and then He will pay them with His torment, His punishment. But those who have been affected by the evil that the first party did, those ones Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will compensate them by forgiving their sins and giving them al-Jannah and elevating them on the day of resurrection. Such that if they were to see the pleasures that they are in, they would ask Allah to allow them come back to this world and fight more than they did before so that they can be killed in a more terrible way than they were killed. So that at the end they will get that which they have gotten in Al-Jannah. Because they will see it as being too much for them. This is something they do not even deserve. So they will now want to come and work more for it to deserve it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not by Himself do evil. Anything that is evil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates it. But then if man has chosen that path, Allah could allow man to get away with it in this world, and in the hereafter He will catch him. So, فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ does not mean that Allah did it to them Himself. Because some people say, does that mean that Allah does evil? No, He doesn't. But He permitted it to happen because by the choice of the human being who knows little, they have chosen for themselves that path and Allah has allowed it to happen. So, Iznillah here is qada'ullahi wa qadruh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that because of what the people have chosen for themselves. But then it also coincided with the fact that Allah had decreed from even before we were created that that would happen and that the believers would be killed. And some would be injured, including the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So if that happens, it's not new to the Muslims. It's not new to us, especially since Allah has explained to us that He permitted it to happen, we accept it as good, even though we used to think of it as evil. Wallahu ta'ala alam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ And Allah wanted to know, to differentiate the mu'minun from those who are not mu'minun. Because if you're able to pass the test of Allah, if Allah tries you and you are patient, it shows your iman. It shows that you're a good Muslim. It shows that you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It shows that you know that whatever Allah has decreed cannot pass you by. Huh? Ya gulam, inni u'allimuka kalimat. Ihfaz Allah yahfazka. Ihfaz Allah tajidhu tujahak. إذا سألت فاسأل الله وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله واعلم this is the شاهد واعلم واعلم You don't know this one too? It's Arba'una Hadithu. Anna al-Ummata. Law ijtama'at ala an yanfa'uka bi shay'in lan yanfa'uka illa bi shay'in قد كتبه الله عليك عليك لك not عليك because عليك is the other one قد كتبه الله لك not عليك okay so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam told Abdullah ibn Abbas said oh young man I love you for the sake of Allah you know this is something we hardly do now Maybe those of you who are newly married, you still say it to your wives. After 5 years, 10 years, when she has had 3, 4, 5 children, you no longer say it again. Even when she says it, you say, ah, don't you get tired of that? Every day, I love you. You're already tired of it. But your brother, how many times do you tell him that? I love you for the sake of Allah. Yeah, which one be I love you? Are you a woman? Isn't it? That's the way we feel. Say you can only say love to a woman, not a man. Well, it's not that kind of love you have in mind that we're talking about. It is the love you have for somebody that you like, somebody that you think Allah loves, you also love him, because you want to be saved even through that love that you show him. And the love that you have for him will make you do good things to him, and then you defend him as much as you can from evil, with all your power. That's the kind of love we're talking about, not the infatuation that happens between young people, male and female. Not that kind of love. So the Muslims are supposed to say this to themselves, and they are supposed to mean it. Because if you tell somebody you love him, let him see it in your action. Let it be that you will be able to hurt yourself just to please him. There's somebody who borrowed something from someone. It is something that even if you use it for a year, you can return it to the person and it will still be intact. So it's possible to still return the thing to the person which you borrowed from him, that thing which you borrowed from him. After a year, you can still return the thing and it will still be useful. But then, this person that borrowed from his brother for 2 or 3 months, he wasn't able to return it because he couldn't buy another one and return their own. So now when he got the power to buy another one, the new one that he bought, he gave it to that his brother. And he held the old one that he had with him, which he borrowed from them, which they gave him at the time he needed it. And some people say, what are you doing? Return his own to him. There's nothing wrong with this. Why are you giving him the new one? I can't do it. That is how people are today. This kind of love that we're supposed to have for our brothers is lost completely. Say, you are giving him the new one. Why not give him his own? You can give him his own and decide maybe to give him 1 or 2,000 naira. But why are you buying this expensive thing and giving him the new one and holding his own? Did anything happen to his own? And then somebody asked the question. At the time that that person lent him this one, when he had known, did he not like it? Was he not happy? Say he was happy. So if he buys a new one now and gives the other person, what is wrong with it? Huh? What is wrong with it? There's nothing wrong with it. That's brotherhood. And you know that person that you gave the new one, how do you think he will feel? Yeah? If you were the one, how would you feel? The one you gave him was not brand new. You had been using it before you now decided to give it to him because you had another one. Maybe the one you had was better than this one, so you gave him this one and you held the better one. And he was using it. And then when he decided to return your own, he gave you a brand new one, which is probably even better than your own, even yours, even if yours was new. How would you feel? You would respect him, say, this man is an honorable person. See what he has done. You may reject the new one and say, give me my own. Yet, you know that he has done well. At least he was not selfish. That's how we should be amongst ourselves. If we want things to improve for us, that's how we have to live with each other. If we do not live with each other well, how do we expect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will treat us well? Why should we be expecting that? When you cannot treat your fellow human being well, you expect good from Allah, you won't get it. Because al-jaza'u min jinsil amal. What you get is from what you give. You put garbage, you get garbage. Isn't it? That's how it is. And that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works with us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to know the difference between you. He wants to know who the mu'min is, who the real believer is. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes something evil to happen to you, what will you do? Will you accept it? Will you embrace it and go ahead? Or will you keep grumbling and then lose too? You lose Allah and you lose the thing that you're grumbling over. Because it is gone, you cannot get it back. So both ways you lose. Which will you do? لِيَعْلَمَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَيْ لِيُمَيِّزَ وَقِيلَ لِيَرَى لِيَرَى مَنْ هُوَ مُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ هُوَ كَافِرْ لِيُمَيِّزَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ. Naam, so he says, وَلِيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ نَافَقُوا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries us so that he will know who the munafiq is. So that people will know. Allah already knows. But he will make known. He will make the munafiq known to people. Because one of the ways you know a hypocrite is when he does not take in good faith Allah's trial. If anything happens, the first thing he does is blame somebody for it. This is a munafiq. This is a clear sign of a hypocrite. He can never say, okay, this is my mistake, I accept it. He can never say that. Or he can never say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. But what you hear is superstition. And sometimes some, when good happens to them, rather than alhamdulillah, they will be thanking human beings. They will be thanking the jinns, like the Bori people, and so on and so forth. The Sufis will be thanking their sheikhs. They will go to the grave and be thanking somebody who is dead, who cannot help himself. Because they don't believe in Allah. What they believe in is those things. Allahu al-musta'an. وَلِيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ نَافَقُوا وَقِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْ قَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And Allah says, it was said to them, come with us and fight for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَيْ لِأَجْلِ دِينِ اللَّهِ وَطَاعَتِهِ أَوِدْفَعُوا أَنْ أَهْلِكُمْ وَحَرِيمِكُمْ. Or at least defend yourselves and defend your brothers and defend those who are under you so that at least you will not be hurt. Do one of these for yourselves. Or as Saddi says, it was said to them, increase the number of Muslims by participating in the defense of Muslims so that they are not killed. رابطوا إن لم تقاتلوا يكون ذلك دفعا وقمعا للعدو. So defend us, defend our territory so that nobody comes and you know, makes an incursion into the Muslim land while the soldiers are there on the battlefield. At least if you can't do that, do this. قالوا, but they say, لو نعلم قتالا. If we had known, there are two ways that ulama translate this and interpret this. One of them is, if we had known that what was required of us was war, we would have prepared for it. Or, if we had known how to fight, we would have fought. But we don't know how to fight. So excuse us, please. You that know how to fight, you can go and fight. But we don't know how to fight. If you don't know, why can't you learn? Why can't you learn? لَتَّبَعْنَاكُمْ. If we knew how to fight, we would have followed you. But we don't know how to fight. Who said this? Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. وَأَصْحَابُهُ الَّذِينَ انْصَرَفُوا عَنْ أُحُدٍ وَكَانُوا ثَلَاثَمِئَا. This was said by Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. This was not something he said in public, in the midst of the Muslims. He said it while with the kuffar. He said it in his heart. He concealed some of these feelings he had. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed them to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And then Allah, and there were 300 of them, he and 299 others, who refused to go to Uhud because in the first place they were munafiqun. They had no iman. So Allah says, "Hum lil kufri yawma idhin aqrab." On that day, those people that made that statement, they are closer to kufr than you can imagine. They are closer to kufr than even those ones that you know as kuffar. Because إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُمْ نَصِيرًا. The munafiqun amongst the Muslims are the worst kuffar that you can get. If somebody is a munafiq, the kind of nifaq that means you don't have iman. You are pretending to be a Muslim, but you are not truly a Muslim. You can know this from their utterances. When somebody says, I'm a Muslim, but I am a modern Muslim. I'm a moderate Muslim. I'm a liberal Muslim. I'm not that kind of Muslim that would keep his beard. I'm not that kind of Muslim that would jump his trousers. I'm not that kind. I'm not that kind of Muslim that would say he will not commit zina, he will not do this. His wife will wear hijab to the ground, this and that. I'm not that kind of Muslim. I'm a liberal Muslim. You are a munafiq. You are not a Muslim. You are a munafiq. You do not believe in the sunnah, but you are deceiving yourself. If you believe in the sunnah, what keeps you from practicing it? What prevents you from practicing it, if not in fact? Why should you refuse to practice that which you believe in? Why? You like this thing, you know it's beautiful, yet you do not want it. You do not want to own it. Not even when you are given free of charge, you will not accept it. Yet you like that thing. How is that possible? It's not possible. If you don't like it, you don't like it. If you like it, everybody will know you like it, because we can see from the things you do that you actually like this thing. Allah says they are closer on that day to kufr. So, they are closer to kufr than they are to iman, so that they are kuffar, not mu'minun. If your closeness to kufr is more than your closeness to iman, then my brother, you are a kafir. Because what is ghalib in you is kufr, not iman, not Islam. But if you are more of a mu'min, only that you have some traces you have some sins that you commit, but then clearly it can be seen that you're closer to Iman. Then you're a Muslim. You're on the side of Islam. You know that man who killed 99 people, and then he went to an ignorant follower, somebody who worships Allah without knowledge. And he said to him, he has killed 99 people. How can Allah forgive him? He said, Allah can never forgive you. 99 people, you must go to hell. He said, So he said, okay, since there is no remedy, I will kill you also. Because even if I don't kill you, I will still go to hell. So let him just kill him. He killed him. So that made 100 people. But still he was not comfortable. He was now lucky to go to somebody who is knowledgeable. And then he said to that person, this is what he has done. And the person said, who can come between you and Allah? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can come between you and Allah. So if you repent sincerely, Allah will forgive you. But if you repent, leave your town. Because your town is full of wayward people. And if you stay with them, you can never be reformed. So leave them and go to the land of good people. So place, go there. As he was moving, because Allah knew that his repentance was true, he got to a particular part of the road and he just fell and died. And then the angels of Azab came to get him. And the angels of Rahmah came and said, no, he's ours, because he had actually repented. As they were arguing, then one angel came and said, let me separate between the two of you. So what's the problem? They told him. He said, well, measure. Is he closer to the land of the good people or to the land of the bad people? And when they measured, he was just an inch into the land of the good people. They said he belongs there. So the angels of Rahmah took him. You understand? So al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba yawm al-qiyamah. Whoever you love, whoever is your company, then that's where you belong also. Even on the day of resurrection, Allah will resurrect you along with those people. So if it was good people you were closer to, you will be in their midst. If it was kuffar you were closer to, you will be with the kuffar. There are Muslims now who make that mistake. They are trying every time to please the kuffar. Every time their efforts are to please the kuffar, so that they will not be seen as extremists. But those same kuffar, when they wish, they criticize your religion, they don't care how you feel. Questions and answers? They don't care how you feel. But you now, you are feeling for them. And Allah says, تحبونهم, you like them, you love them. But they, what do they feel for you? They don't care about you. As far as they are concerned, you are worse than a cesspit. You are worse than that. You are worse than excreta as far as they are concerned. They don't have any respect for you, but you are wasting your time trying to please them. You say, we are all the same. There should not be difference of religion. People should not be bringing religion, into politics. People should not be bringing religion into affairs. Humanity first. Humanity, my foot. What is humanity without Islam, without Iman? What's a kafir? What's a munafiq? What is he worth to you? Why do you hate murderers, but you don't hate people who say there are three gods? Are you not a munafiq? That you hate a thief, somebody who steals money, but you don't hate somebody who steals Iman. You are a munafiq, because the Iman does not mean anything to you. It's money that means more to you. So you are more concerned about that. We are not saying people should go and be killing. It's wrong in Islam. But kufr is the greatest evil that can be done by mankind. Wal fitnatu ashaddu min al qatl. Al fitnatu here, al kufr. Al shirk is worse. So you hate people more for their kufr than for their wrong deeds. because that's the greatest evil anyone can do. Wallahu ta'ala ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُمْ لِلْكُفْرِ يَوْمَ إِذٍ أَقْرَبُ مِنْهُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ يَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. They say with their tongues, with their mouths, they say لا إله إلا الله ما ليس في قلوبهم. Even though in their hearts they do not believe it, they worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they worship the naira, they worship the life of this world, they prefer it to the life of the akhirah. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَكْتُمُونَ. But that which they conceal in them, Allah knows it more than anybody can. Insha'Allah ta'ala, we shall continue with الَّذِينَ قَالُوا لِإِخْوَانِهِمْ وَقَعَدُوا لَوْ أَطَعُونَا. He has recited it, hasn't he? So we'll just read it tomorrow and then we'll continue. Insha'Allah ta'ala, if Allah spares our lives and gives us the ability to do so. How many minutes do we have to answer the questions? Yes, let's go. It's better than nothing, isn't it? This one says, may Allah increase me in knowledge and iman. Ameen, ameen, ameen. And you too. If a man has been accused of corruption, but he knows very well that he has not stolen anything from anybody, from anybody's property, what's the way out? He should defend himself as much as he can. If somebody says, slanders you, somebody says, accuses you of doing what you did not do, you defend yourself. Don't accept it. Try as much as possible to drag that case to any length so that you prove your innocence. Because when you have been accused of embezzlement, it's not a small issue. It's a very big issue. And you should defend yourself as much as possible so that the people will know that you did not take their property. If you are not able to do that, because the system is so corrupt that you cannot get the judges to do justice to you, you report them to Allah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to handle the case on your behalf. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas did that. He was accused of doing something he didn't do. He asked Allah to punish that person that said that thing against him if that person is wrong. And before he died, Allah showed those people. Two different people, and Allah showed them clearly for everybody to see that Sa'ad was innocent. Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, he was governor, and people came and said, that man is making money. He's governor, but he's making so much money for himself. He's embezzling, he's doing this and that. And then the case was reported to Umar bin Khattab. So he asked him, how did you get that? He said, this is how I got it, this is how I got it. Umar wasn't satisfied. And so Umar stripped him of the position and then brought him back to the commoner that he was before. So he continued to live his life the way he lived. After he had defended himself, nobody could prove him wrong, could prove that he has stolen anything. So he came and continued living his life normally. And then his innocence became clear to Umar bin Khattab. So Umar said, please, we will send you back as a governor. He said, I will not accept it again. I don't want anything like that. So you must protest to show your anger, because it's not a small thing for somebody to insinuate that you are embezzling public funds, because it's one of the kaba'ir in Islam. So you try to defend yourself as much as you can and show your dissent. Show that you dissent that thing that has been done, and you would have wished to defend yourself as much as possible. Now, can a lady in menstruation take Al-Quran? Some ulama say it's wrong for the lady who is menstruating to handle the mushaf. And some say there is nothing wrong with it. But as for the recitation, she can recite. There is no problem with that. But then holding the mushaf, some say it's wrong, some say it's right. Those who say it's wrong say, Allah says, لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَهَّرُونَ. And those who say they do not accept that, say, but this ayah is not talking about a lady menstruating, holding the mushaf. What the ayah is talking about is Allahul Mahfuz. Allahul Mahfuz. The ayah is talking about Allahul Mahfuz. Why? Can you bring the ayat for me as they occur? Innahu. Huh? La Qur'anun Kareem. Fi kitabin maknoon. La yamassuhu illa al-mutahharun. Huu huna. Hadha al-dhamir. Yarju ila. Huh? Where do we apply it? Huh? وإنه, is it وإنه or إنه إنه لقرآن كريم في كتاب مكنون لا يمسه إلا المطهر لا يمس ماذا القرآن آه. Is it المذكور أخيرا كتاب مكنون في كتاب مكنون لا يمسه أي لا يمس كتاب المكنون إلا المطهرون المطهرون هي هنا الملائكة الملائكة those ones who have been purified by Allah they cannot sin it's not talking about human beings so you can't use that ayah to say that a menstruating woman cannot hold the mushaf But some say if it is part of the mushaf, it's okay. But if it is full, they frown at it. Hatu burhanakum. Is it the purity of the heart, the purity you get as a result of La ilaha illallah, that is more important, or the purity of wudu and ghuslul janaba? That of iman is more. And Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam says, Inna al-mu'mina la yanjus. So you never become an impurity as long as you have La ilaha illallah. Therefore, it's permissible for her to touch the mushaf. But it is better to clear doubt that she just recites without handling the mushaf if she is menstruating. Wallahu ta'ala alam. If she touches it, she has not done anything wrong. But then, you know, the most important thing about the Mus'haf is not the Mus'haf itself. Because when it was revealed, it was not revealed as a Mus'haf. It was revealed simply as Al-Qur'an, that which is read. So when you are reading, that's where the Qur'an is. Huh? Not when you are touching something. This one says, when does someone traveling from his residence, from his country to another country, break his fast. Before you start the journey, you can break your fast. You know, Malikiya will say, if you're traveling before Tulu'ul Fajr, you have started the journey before Tulu'ul Fajr, you can break your fast. But once it is Tulu'ul Fajr, you haven't started the journey, then Akimmu Siyama ila al-layl. You have to complete the fast, isn't it? So you cannot break it. But Anas bin Malik, Khadimur Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, climbed his camel, everybody was watching, in the day, because he was no longer fasting, he brought out his food and started eating. While he was sitting on the camel, he had not started the journey. And it was broad daylight. Said he wanted the people to know that it is the sunnah. Huh? So it's permissible for you to eat before you start the journey, even if it is after the dawn. Allahumma qsim lana min khashyatika ma tahulu bihi baynana wa bayna ma'asyatik wa min ta'atika ma tubalighuna biha jannatak wa min al-yaqini ma tahawwinu bihi alayna masa'ib al-dunya wa matti'ana Allahumma bi asma'ina wa absarina wa quwwatina abadan ma abqaytana واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.